everyone, welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week to help destigmatize why people love horror movies and, you know, why people love being scared and they love the adrenaline rush and for numerous reasons. And here we delve into those reasons. This week, I'm sharing a conversation that I had with YouTuber Nick Green a month or so back where we discussed his show, The No Score Review Show, and how he came up with the idea for it. I love the name. Isn't it great? We also talked about how old he was when he saw his very first horror movie and how it was probably too young to be watching Jeepers Creepers. Spoiler alert. And he also tells me why he's such a big fan of this year's very controversial indie movie, Skinamarink, among other things. If you love the show and haven't left us a review on iTunes yet, I'd be so grateful if you could take a second to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It's so appreciated as it really helps people to find us. I think that's it. So let's get into this interview with Nick Green. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good. How are you, Allison?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. I am Nick Green. I am the host of the No Score Review Show, where we talk about movies and TV shows and video games. And it's kind of a long form discussion, just kind of like friends hanging around, chatting about movies and whatnot, where we get into the nitty gritty of like what we liked and disliked about different entertainment properties and just get into like more nuanced discussion and try to avoid putting a number or a score to whatever we're talking about in each episode. Cause usually it's a little more like nuanced than that. So yeah. And it's available on YouTube and all of your favorite podcast listening services as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I was on your episode where we talked about Scream 6 a couple of weeks ago. So that was super fun. Everyone should check
indeed.
That out.
Yeah, that was a blast. And I am also going to be doing more horror movies and horror type things going forward. I also just reviewed Resident Evil 4 Remake, which was a horror game.
Oh, cool. I've never played any of the Resident Evil games or watched the movies. So that is a blind spot for me.
It was actually my first time playing the remake games that came out in the last few years because 4 Remake just came out in the past week or so. So I did a big marathon of all of the different remakes and they're pretty fun. They're not like super scary. They're way more like action horror, and 4 Remake definitely leans into like the campy horror. Mm-hmm. The main character, Leon Kennedy, has like a bunch of one-liners and stuff. So it's actually pretty funny most of the time. But yeah. Oh,
cool. Awesome. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
My favorite scary movie, I think, would have to be Halloween. John Carpenter's Halloween. That's one I put on every year at the end of October. I just love the fall like aesthetic of the film. And I love the like simplistic nature of the whole story. It's like one of, if not, it's probably one of the lowest body counts in like the slasher genre, but it's very effective with its kills. And I just love the design of Michael Myers and everything. And the music is so iconic. It's just, I love everything about that film.
Awesome. What did you think of the 2018 remake?
The remake, I really liked the, like, I think they absolutely nailed the aesthetic and the feel of those films, and they like harken back to the original very well. But in terms of like actual logical story progression and like just character motivations, it felt a little weak. I really liked the like final showdown with Laurie and Michael, but it also just kind of feels weird because then there's two more films after that. So it's like, it feels a little stunted in that, like, it had that just been a one-off thing, I think it probably would have been great, but it's a little bittersweet for me for the most part.
That's understandable. So how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
So don't ask why, but the first horror film I actually saw was, I think, Jeepers Creepers. And it was at a classmate's birthday party in kindergarten of all grades. I think the girls, the birthday girl I was at, like the party I was at, I think it was being hosted at her grandma's house. And I think the grandma was very loose with rules. So like Jeepers Creepers was on like AMC or whatever on the television. And like, there was just a bunch of little 4 and 5 year olds huddled up around the TV. We were so enamored with what was happening on screen. I have like a very distinct core memory of that happening. Of the, there's like the scene with the old lady at like in the middle of the night, and the two main characters are like talking to her, and then the creeper like comes out and grabs the old lady. But yeah, that was like the first instance with horror that I can remember. But I think it was kind of my love of Star Wars and Jurassic Park growing up. And like I would watch the like bonus features and behind the scenes for those films and those types of films like on repeat when I was younger. I was just so fascinated with that, the behind the scenes of it all. And especially like in the case of those films, there's like a lot of animatronics and makeup and costumes and like special effects that goes into those films. So I think that's probably where it started for tipping me off, because I think also growing up, the Alien versus Predator films were coming out around that time. So I think the marketing of that paired with my love of like the bonus features of like the prosthetics and whatnot, I was very interested in seeing those films. So Alien versus Predator kind of tipped me off into their respective franchises. So I got the like special box set or whatever. And it was like 12-year-old me just watching all of the Alien and Predator films on repeat, because that was my new big thing. And then that, I think, kind of led into the slasher genre a bit. I didn't really have an emo phase growing up, but I think that's as probably close as I could get, was like I was a huge slasher fan in like middle school. That's probably about as edgy as I got. So I went through every single popular slasher franchise, and I wanted to see like every single one. I think I only missed the Hellraiser films. I think I got everything else. But yeah, that kind of, and then I think that just kind of transitioned into full-blown horror fan.
Awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's Jeepers Creepers is an interesting choice for kindergartners.
I know. So weird. It must have just left the TV on or something and then just didn't think anything of it. Probably thought all the kids would be running around the house and like screaming their heads off or something. But no, we just huddled around the TV.
Yeah. So why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I think a lot of it probably has to do with how we kind of like just orient ourselves and orient our like day-to-day lives. I feel like it's probably, at least in my case, I really like to kind of explore new things. I'm not like super adventurous or spontaneous per se, but I do like when it comes to like foods and stuff, I like to explore new avenues and try new things. So the horror genre kind of lends itself to that. I find it's like, it's such a diverse genre in and of itself, where there's like a lot of different novelties to horror that we don't really get in our day-to-day lives, probably for the best when you think of most things horror. But it like horror can just like break the limits and like the very fabric of our reality a lot of the time. So it's like a really cool escape. And then just finding that like thrill ride, I think, as well. It's kind of like roller coasters and whatnot, but kind of almost to an extreme in a way.
Yeah, that's a great answer. So what scares you in horror movies today, and also what scares you in real life?
I don't know if I've watched any horror movies recently that had any of these, but like, I guess like my phobias are like the standard, like spiders. I hate spiders. I've grown in my fear of the ocean. I do like to think it's a respectful fear, though. It's like, I do not want to fuck around with the ocean. It is like terrifying to me, not even considering all of the like creatures that live in the ocean. It's just like the ocean will fuck you up. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I actually can think of a film instance for this one, but like, I will never go caving, I don't think. Unless it's like guided tours and like big wide open spaces, but like I have zero interest in doing like the tight, yeah, tight, like cramp, like the scene in The Descent. Yeah, gets spelunking me every time. I hate it so much. Yeah, spelunking. and then in like actual real life, it's probably going to be most of the boring answers of like, I'm a little scared for like how my future is going to pan out in terms of like how the world is going to work politically and environmentally. I try not to think about that stuff too much. I think I keep a pretty good handle on like what I can control in my life, and as long as I'm doing everything I can, then there's not much to worry about. But yeah, those are kind of my what scares me nowadays.
What is your favorite subgenre in horror?
Subgenre? Well, I think if I go off my top 10 horror films on Letterboxd, just from sheer numbers alone, probably paranormal, Hereditary, Blair Witch, Conjuring, The Witch, Dead Silence, those are all kind of in that paranormal vein. I do like a lot of those, and it's a very cool genre to explore just from like it's just so diverse in its own subgenre itself, because you can go like demons, you can just go ghosts. It's got a very wide, you can go like religious with it or not. You can keep it very open-ended with kind of like something more recent like Skinamarink. It's a pretty cool genre, but I do have a soft spot, kind of going back to like how I started with horror, for slashers and creature features. I do love those so much. I actually didn't like the original John Carpenter's The Thing upon first watch, but after watching it again and again, I came around finally. I think it was more so to do with like a story standpoint. I just wasn't in the mood or something on my first watch, but just watching all the special effects and the practical effects in that film, it's just on another level, man. It just holds up. It's so good.
Yeah, that's a hot take to say you didn't like the original The Thing.
I've come around, thankfully, but
All right. I think you've touched upon this a little bit already, but who are your favorite horror directors?
horror directors. Oh, where are they? I had them. Probably Robert Eggers, Ari Aster, Mike Flanagan is someone I was blown away with. Like Midnight Mass was like, I desperately need Midnight Mass on physical like edition, because I want that on my shelf so badly. That was such an amazing limited series. I still haven't seen all of his work. I still got to watch the both of the Haunting series, but I've seen Gerald's Game and Hush as well. And he's just amazing. I will watch anything and everything he does going forward. And then also T. West was a very surprising standout from last year with two horror films in the same year. Just crazy.
He was really great. I also really love Mike Flanagan. I would recommend watching The Haunting of Hill House before The Haunting of Bly Manor.
The Hill House was the first one, right? Okay.
So an article came out in 2020 that said that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. Why do you think that was the case?
I think it prob I'd like to think it kind of had something to do with like us just having like an innate preparedness for horrific situations. Like if you watch a ton of horror movies, you kind of like build up that like survivor instinct a little bit, I'd like to think. But I think another part of it is probably like a lot of horror fans, at least in my like experience, my life experience, it's like a lot of people are introverts who like horror films. So I think probably just like, I mean, myself included, self-proclaimed an introvert. I like being on my own, and I handle being on my own very well. So that probably that played into it a little bit for long periods of time.
Definitely. How strict was the lockdown? You're in Vancouver, right?
Yes, I actually, so I kind of lucked out. I had moved in with my partner like days before lockdown was like officially, and it was like a new place too. We had never lived together, brand new place. It actually worked out pretty well though. It was a really nice setup we had going, and yeah, it wasn't actually too bad, but I was like off work because I was working on film sets still at the time as a camera trainee. So we had to shut down a week early on that production. And then yeah, the film industry kind of shut down as a whole for like at least 6 months. So I didn't work for quite a while, but it made lots of time for Animal Crossing.
Are you back to work now? Are you working on movies?
Well, yes and no. I am back to work, but I'm no longer working on film sets anymore. I now work at like an equipment, like a camera rental house.
Okay, cool.
So film industry adjacent.
Yeah, that's awesome. Are there any harm? Okay, let me, I don't want to ask that question yet. So your show, the No Score Review Show, how did you come up with the idea for it?
Well, I was a big fan of like IGN and a lot of their like podcasts growing up, and just IGN overall was a big standout for me in terms of like how they did things, how they ran their programming and whatnot. But there was also being like relatively invested in like the gaming community as well. There's like always a lot of backlash, and it even like trickles into movie reviews at times, but like there's a lot of backlash sometimes and discourse around certain reviews. And it's largely tied to like, oh, you gave this film a 10 out of 10, but then you're giving this film a 7 out of 10. Like, what the hell? What's going on? So I think it kind of stemmed from that, where like, and even like just in my experience, ever since I like got Letterboxd works with a 5-star system, or I guess technically a 10-point system, because you can do half stars. But when I was like going through the backlog of like, yep, seen this film, and checking everything off, I would try and assign ratings to films. But then anytime I went back and looked, I'm like, oh, I gave this film 5 stars. I'm like, I'm not that hot about that film. So it was just a lot of like, you can change numbers going forward and whatnot, but I feel it's a little easier to kind of settle in that gray area of it all and just have a discussion about that film, rather than be like, these were the plot or the bullet points that I liked about this whatever game, movie, show, and then I'm slapping a number on that and then we're calling it quits. So I wanted to kind of do the antithesis of that and just kind of make it a more open, long form discussion. And then I also like, because I have plans with this show going forward, that it's going to be also revisiting some of these shows and movies down the line, to see like how it sits with us 5 years from now, or like even like 6 months from now or something like that. Cause I find that a lot of the time I'll be like really harsh on a movie I saw like 10 years ago, but I haven't seen it since then. So now that I've watched it recently, like I actually like, I'll come around to this film. It's actually not bad. So want to like give films and games a fair shake type of thing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really nice. Yeah, I feel like I go back to my Letterboxd reviews sometimes and I'm like, why did I rate that so high? Or I don't remember liking it that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you're not bound to like a certain number or whatever, right? Yeah. It's a little easier.
What movies do you have coming up on the show?
Coming up, as of the time of this recording, the Mario movie is coming out right at the beginning of May, or April rather. What else do we have this month? We have 2 Star Wars Disney Plus shows wrapping up this month as well. So I'm going to be reviewing those. The Bad Batch season 2 ended last week, and Mandalorian season 3 is wrapping up this week as well. Also Star Wars related, a new Star Wars game is coming out, Jedi Survivor. And then Evil Dead Rise is also coming out this month. So maybe you and I will review that film later down the line.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'm not the biggest fan of the Evil Dead franchise, but I did like the remake that came out in 2013. And I'm looking forward to this one, even though it's going to be very graphic. And I'm going to spend a lot of the time with my hands over my eyes.
Yeah, but I imagine it'll be the same way.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to Evil Dead in an apartment building. So
totally. Yeah, it's like a completely different setting. Yeah. I don't know if this is a hot take necessarily, but I still have yet to see a single Evil Dead film. So this, I think I might just embrace it and make Evil Dead Rise my very first. So we'll see.
I think that you should watch the remake first, at
least. You think so?
Yeah,
Okay.
before seeing that one.
It'll give me a little more context, maybe.
Yeah. I
Gotcha.
mean, I may, I can't, I don't know because I haven't seen Evil Dead Rise,
Right.
but I just feel like, and I
Okay.
don't like the original Evil Dead, so.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I
Although I
think
guess I have heard the
it's
second one
boring.
is the one that's like more popular,
I,
right?
it is. I, yeah, that's what all my friends say, but I've never been able to get through the second one either because I just find them really schlocky and boring.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just don't like 80s horror, so that's just
Oh,
me.
fair enough. Yeah, it certainly has a vibe to it
Yeah.
that's transcends most of the films even.
Totally. So are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
It kind of coming from two different like reasonings. Like there are some that I won't watch from like a gross out factor. I'm not like huge on gore really. Like gore kind of is its own subgenre almost at times. So I don't find myself wanting to revisit those types of films. Like I watched Green Inferno for the first time in the last couple of years and zero desire to ever watch that again. I watched the human centip the first two Human Centipede films when I was like an edgy high schooler and definitely not intrigued by those anymore. The Saw sequels, I don't really have any fond memories of. That was also in the like kind of grouping of like watching all of the slasher films. I kind of grouped Saw with those. But yeah, I think I'll probably just stick to the first Saw and that's about it. There's nothing really that stands out to me in the other whatever like other 10 sequels. But then there's like more generic, just like because they were kind of poor quality. Like I don't think I'll ever watch The Nun again. Or like Phantasm, I watched that for the first time in the last couple of years, and I did not like that film. I can understand where it gets a cult following, but I was just not into it. And yeah, there's just countless more. Like, I mean, like horror is one of those genres where it's like it can be like a lot of schlock most of the time, and it's like most of the time people love it because it's bad. So yeah.
Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Yeah, I actually have two. The Lighthouse, Robert Eggers' The Lighthouse. I think there were like maybe five or six people in that theater, and there were two flies stuck in that auditorium, and it's black and white, right? And throughout the entire film, they would cross through the like projector light, so there would be these two random black blobs floating around the image throughout the entire
Oh my
film, and it made
goodness.
for a very like it was actually surprisingly like fitting in the film, but it made it like even more like jarring and like uncomfortable. And then Midsommar, someone like three rows back behind me started like full on like actual choking, like not
Ooh.
even coughing, just like full on lodged. And like I still knew first aid at the time from being a lifeguard. So I was like ready to jump out of my seat and it was going on for a while. And this was like, mind you, this was also at like the peak of like the climax where shit really starts going
Yeah.
down with the like cult and stuff. So everyone was already on edge, but then this guy starts choking and I actually jumped out of my seat and started climbing over because it had gone on for so long. So I was ready to go Heimlich him, but someone else was closer to him and actually ended up getting to him first. So then everyone just
Oh
went back to watching the rest of Midsommar.
my goodness.
And yeah, that was quite the experience. Yeah, it I'll never forget that one for sure.
Oh my God. Did you ever like go back and see it again so you didn't have like the ending like interrupted?
Yes. I own it on Blu-ray now and
Okay.
I've revisited it now, so I don't have someone choking near me anymore, which thankfully helps. Who knew?
Definitely. Well, I'm glad that person survived.
Yes. They did survive, by the
Yes.
way.
So what's been your favorite horror movie that you've seen so far in 2023?
In terms of actual 2023 releases, I think I've only seen Scream 6.
Okay.
I technically saw Skinamarink this year as well, but that came out end of last year. Although I guess it got its like official
Yeah,
theatrical
it was this
release
year.
beginning of this year, so
Yeah.
you could count that as well. If we're counting that, then probably Skinamarink.
Oh,
I
okay.
loved that film. I spoke with you about this a while back, but the showing I saw what the speakers were way too loud, so that was a little not great, especially with that film, because the jump scare noises are very like ear grating. But otherwise, I loved that film. But yeah, Skinamarink and Scream 6.
Nice. I love to hear that you loved Skinamarink. That's so heartwarming to hear. Mm-hmm. So many people did not like it. What horror movies are you most looking forward to seeing in the rest of 2023?
There wasn't actually, like, before Evil Dead Rise, because like that's probably like the most popular one that like most people know about that I'm excited to see. But like before that, I was like looking on Letterboxd and there wasn't anything that was standing out to me. But I caught wind of a film called The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but just from the premise alone, I know like next to nothing about it otherwise. That sounds very intriguing. It's about a merchant ship that's chartered to carry 50 unmarked wooden crates from Carpathia to London. And they get stalked by this shadowy presence on board. So that sounds pretty interesting. It's definitely a very unique, it sounds like it'll be kind of like a period piece almost. So
yeah.
I'm really into that. I love period horror. That's probably like one of my second favorite subgenres.
Mm-hmm.
It's also very easy from like a story and writing perspective, being like, there's no cell phones around, there's no cars around. So it's like a little more out of the comfort zone and not as easy to like write your way out or whatever.
Awesome. Also, Ari Aster's next movie, Beau Is Afraid, comes out later.
Yes,
this month.
I am also very excited for that. I don't know how horror like it'll be, but I'm still very excited.
Yeah, I feel like it might be horror in the same way that maybe Midsommar was.
Yeah, I think if I go in with that mindset, I feel like I'll be less like set up for disappointment, at least.
Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like, or do you have any, you know, hot takes on the horror genre?
Well, I mean, Skinamarink is definitely probably one of the most recent ones. I loved that film so much. And I actually am still like surprised whenever I read reviews about it being like, this is like utter trash, man. And like, I could get it from like, to a certain extent of like, yes, it's very unconventional, like camera work and stuff. But like, in like all things considered, that film tells an actually really good and cohesive story with really like not compelling characters, but like you feel for those kids like with such little dialogue, and I feel like that's so impressive. It does get like pretty interpretive towards the end, so that probably lost a lot of people as well, but man, I just loved that film so much. That's another one I can't wait to have on my physical media shelf. In terms of other ones, though, I think Dead Silence is kind of like disregarded a little bit. I love the creepy doll in that movie. I really like the Friday the 13th remake, actually. I thought it was a very excellent like cohesion of the first three parts. And like it is just like kind of very generic slasher for the most part, and like killing the archetypes of like the jock and the slutty girl and whatnot, but I think it was very effective and looks great too.
I liked it way better than the original. So
I maybe regrettably bought the original on Steelbook, and it's not a good film. No, it's so bad. Other things like Alien versus Predator, I still quite enjoy those, maybe more so for nostalgic reasons than anything, but I still love those films. The Last Exorcism is another one I really enjoyed. I think it kind of lost its footing and could have been really good had it kind of stuck to its guns with like the last act. But I still think it was very good, and a very good found footage film too. And Alien Covenant as well is another one. I actually like it for all the wrong reasons, though, kind of. I hate it as an alien film, but I love it as a like sci-fi film. The score and the cinematography in that film are like so amazing. They feel like awards, like Academy Awards worthy to me personally. But I mean, otherwise it's not that great. The characters are so dumb in that film. But yeah.
Awesome. I've only seen Alien and Aliens, and then I saw Prey. So those are the only Alien American
That
movies
is really all like that you are sitting pretty for those
that.
three. You really don't need to watch anything else. Like the first Predator film, I would say probably, but otherwise, like, yeah,
Yeah.
that's you're not really missing out on much, especially on the alien side. The first two Alien films are really all you need.
Yeah, I think that's what I've heard, so I haven't bothered. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh man, there are like tons I would love a shot at just making, but like when I think of remake, I think like trying to improve maybe what they couldn't pull off the first time around. So maybe in that regard, or this actually might be more so like a subjective take and not so much just like an objective they failed, but like Color Out of Space, the Nicolas Cage adaptation, I really would have preferred to see a more authentic telling of that short story, and actually setting it in like I don't know even what you would call it, maybe like Renaissance or like medieval era, or even just like what are they called, like Mennonite type community, like disconnected from the world, like old technology or like complete absence of technology. I think that would have it just would have felt way more authentic to the film. I did like how they presented some of the things in that film, but yeah, I just didn't like the modern incorporation. Another one is 30 Days of Night. I think that would have been much more effective as like a limited series, a la like Midnight Mass almost, especially since it like literally covers a month. So like
Yeah.
it feels like it's very hard to pull that off in a like hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I loved the setting of that film and the premise. I thought it was an amazing premise, but just kind of execution fell flat for me a little bit.
That's one that I've heard mentioned from several people recently that I haven't seen, so I think I have to watch it now.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's just I think it's definitely could have been pushed a little further to be like amazing.
Yeah. So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
I kind of cheated with this one. I have two answers. If they aren't trying to kill me, I would say Freddy Krueger, because then he could just like you could go to sleep and have amazing crazy dreams, and that would keep quarantine kind of exciting, I would think. Maybe not so much on the like child kidnapper side. That's kind of like he's kind of a piece of shit for that. But if they are trying to like come after me, I feel like I could stand a pretty good chance against Chucky, considering his
Yes.
size and demeanor and everything. Just drop kick that bastard. Yeah, I actually have a twist question for you regarding
Okay.
this. If you had to spend quarantine in one horror location, where would you pick? I would personally, I would pick like the Overlook Hotel, because there's just so much to do. A second close for me, or like a close second, would be Crystal Lake, maybe, just because like you're outside and then there's lots of like you could go fishing, you could go
Yeah.
canoeing.
I'm gonna say Gail Weathers' apartment in Scream 6 because it's massive and
Nice.
it's in New York City,
I
and
love
it's not that far from where I live now. So,
that answer. That's so good.
yeah. Well,
Hopefully pre-Ghostface attacking her, because then you got a bunch of crap all over the place and glass
I
shards
know.
everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise she could hire cleaners.
That's true.
I'm gonna be, yeah, I'm gonna be looking after the place while she's recovering in the hospital.
There you go.
So,
Perfect.
well, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and the No Score Review Show?
Absolutely. You can find the No Score Review Show on youtube.com/@noscore or on your favorite podcast listening services. It's on Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, you name it. Like I said, we have a Mario movie review coming up. That's like kind of the complete opposite of this whole podcast. But I'm excited nonetheless for it. It looks very beautiful, like a very beautiful film and a very fun film. And then there will be more horror content coming up potentially guest starring yours truly. So be sure to go check that out. And then otherwise you can go follow me on all my socials. It's either at NoScore or at NoScore Reviews.
All right. Awesome. Well, everyone go check out his show, and thank you again for being here, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Allison.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Nick Green, and thanks again to Nick for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find Nick and his show, The No Score Review Show, in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter, Who's There Pod. We're on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask, who's there?